Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because I work with this group every day. I'm excited about it. We're very familiar with this team. We know how to play this group. And so that's where our focus is as we get prepared for this one. What you mentioned is my story. It's not this collective story. Many of these guys involved do not tote those bags. I happily tote those bags. But it's not something that I'm going to project on the collective.
Hour two here of our Football Friday playoff edition.
Pony, he does not happily tote those bags.
No, he mean mugged the hell out of Brooke Pryor and Ashley Liotis probably for asking those questions. Look, I am going into this game with very low expectations and hoping that I'm pleasantly surprised. The reason why I go into this thinking that the Steelers are DOA in Baltimore is because of the man we just heard. I have no faith in Mike Tomlin. But I'm not someone who despises or dislikes someone so much where I only criticize the things that they've done wrong, their failures, and try to ignore their successes. If he wins this game, and if he makes Lamar Jackson, who was just named first team All-Pro today, and that might be a clue because it's the same voting block, the AP, that he's going to win his third MVP. If Tomlin is able to twist him into knots again and rattle Lamar Jackson, I'm going to come in here on Monday with you and say, number one, I was wrong. Then I'm going to say, Mike Tomlin just scored his best playoff win because beating this team on the road would be more impressive than anything they did during the 08 run. They beat a 9-7 team in the Super Bowl. They beat a Chargers team that went 8-8 in the divisional round. They beat a team that they had beaten twice in the regular season with a rookie quarterback in the AFC Championship game. I'm not taking away their accomplishments. I'm just saying, as far as the caliber of opponent, this would be his best win, in my opinion, ever. And I would say that a lot of the criticisms I have of him are washed away. Like, this is, I will absolve you. I'm the priest that says at reconciliation, all right, go say your Hail Marys, Mike, and we're good. That's how I would feel if they win this game. Like, our buddy Zach Hoagie, who is a longtime listener and volunteered to be my personal bowling coach.
How'd that go again?
I didn't find any time to do it, and I had to pay Dunlap $100. And a man I took to Marc-Andre Fleury's final game here in Pittsburgh as a wedding present, he texted in and said, if Tomlin wins this game, I give him no credit. Zach, I don't even know if I respectfully disagree with that. I just flat out disagree. To me, that's having it both ways on Tomlin.
Which if people he loses, do enjoy doing.
If they lose, it's his fault. If they win, he gets no credit?
That is exactly the nature of his tenure for many of our listeners. That is how it works. You just went over his 08 Super Bowl run. Cowers players, Ben Roethlisberger, he did LeBeau coaching the defense.
Yep.
He gets treated like a complete bystander on a team that the year before he took over went 8-8 and was like in way more disarray than a Super Bowl champion
should
be.
He gets the Barry Switzer treatment on the team that beat the Steelers in George, Super Bowl 30.
George Seifert too?
In San Francisco after Walsh, yeah.
He does get that. So you say, oh, it's having it both ways. Yes, Steelers fans have enjoyed having it both ways when it comes to Tomlin pretty much since the beginning. Although I think it's mainly only come out in the wash that people feel that way lately when it has been really bad for him in terms of the postseason. I think I still am staggered by the fact that he's only had a postseason win in four of his seasons, which I think in a weird way is like the most damning stat of all for him.
08, 2010,
2015, and 2016. That's it. You have to give the guy some flowers and give him credit if they pull this one off, because it will be more than likely him and him alone as the reason, like the schematic reason, the driving force. I just don't think they're going to go in and play like a 38-35 shootout with Baltimore. I don't think they have that in their DNA.
If they did that, I'd rejoice for him.
I still would. I would say he had done something different that I liked. He would have let Russell Wilson just say, hey, this is our only chance. Go out on your shield, throw it all over the yard.
And if Russ did that, I'd give him credit for bringing him in here and giving the quarterback the latitude to go play like that in a big playoff game.
I don't think you can be so deranged about the head coach and your dislike or disdain for him that you just then say, here's how ridiculous it sounds. You would say, he doesn't ever win playoff games. I don't care what the national media says. And then it's like, he wins a playoff game. No, not like that. You can't have that be your standard for him right now. Have him do it as a humongous underdog and then say, pfft.
It's not quite Steelers-Colts in 05, because that upset spawned a Super Bowl championship. And I don't think even if they win this game, that will happen where it...
They would need Denver and teams like Denver and the Chargers to do their dirty work on the Bills and Chiefs.
Right. So I'm not anticipating or predicting that to happen, but it would be Tomlin's facsimile of that. It would be his best example of, we weren't actually the better team. We were, because the only playoff game he's won as an underdog was in Kansas City before they lost to New England in 16. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's Alex Smith versus Ben. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a garden variety NFL quarterback against a guy that's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. So I don't really look at that as a true
upset. I would say Smith was a little better than garden variety. But, yes, you had the advantage at the most important position on the field. He has a pronounced disadvantage in this game, which is, again, part of his story that they have consistently been at a pronounced disadvantage. How many quarterbacks that they're playing have we heard he really liked but ultimately didn't take? Like, he loved Mahomes in Mahomes' draft year. They loved Mahomes, but Kansas City was aggressive. They loved Hurts, but they didn't take him. Didn't they love Jackson, too?
That came out, I think, like a few weeks ago. That was a new one that popped up.
I would be saying that stuff before Lamar got great. I wouldn't be saying it after the fact. That would just make me even more mad that you took Terrell Edmonds instead of him.
412-928-9370. Two questions. What are your expectations for tomorrow night? Do you believe the Steelers will actually shock the world and win this game? Our last flurry of callers are picking Ravens wins, by the way, so things have turned negative with them. Maybe we've infested
it's our
them
fault.
With one of those Robert
Kennedy
brain worms.
Yeah, we're getting called negative Nancys for all this on
412-928-9370. I think I need to have a pretty good buzz on to get into this song. Just going to put that out there. You know, like 45 minutes before kickoff, there's been a couple of shots of Wild Turkey, maybe.
Is that your pregame routine?
No. But it might be tomorrow, because I know what I'm bracing myself for.
More likely that you... No, I know what you think is more likely based on how the game will go. But if the game... Like, would you be more likely to do the happy whiskey pour? Like, you take a shot and you go, hell yeah, Steelers, if they win. Or you do the very famous bit, like, if they're getting clobbered, you just put the glass on the table, record the phone, and it's just you pouring, like, four fingers of Wild Turkey
into
the rocks glass.
That's more of, like, the depressing drink. I think if they win, it's a victory cigar night for me.
A victory cigar? It's, like, 10 degrees out. Where are you going to go smoke
I don't care. I'll run around with my shirt off.
I'll wake up
people's kids. I'll be like John Cusack. I have a little boombox. I'll be playing Steelers polka on there. Dogs will be barking their asses off. Cops will get called.
Your neighbors are going to hate you if you do that. Don't you think?
My neighbors generally like me. I had an incident when I first moved in, but not with my neighbors right next to me, but with somebody down the street.
Did the neighbors down the street who you had the incident with know who you were and what you did?
No, they didn't.
That's probably for the
best. I got blown up on Facebook is what happened.
You got blown up on... You don't even use Facebook.
I know. My wife does, though, which was... problematic.
So like in like a neighborhood group chat you got crushed. Oh wait a minute.
Yeah, you know that story.
Doggy bag?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you deserved it for that though.
Thanks, Malsey. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Steelers Polka, maybe that gets the juices going a little bit here.
I'm watching ESPN right now. Will Lamar Jackson struggle without Zay Flowers? And they showed like a low light reel of Lamar Jackson. And I'm trying to let it get me fired up, Pony.
And?
Can't get there.
Distracted. How about this?
Here we go. Steelers. Here we go. Pittsburgh's gone to the Super Bowl.
No. Distracted by Cam Newton's hat right now on ESPN.
Here we go.
With Pickens, Freiermuth, and Jalen Warren.
Here we go.
We'll go to Najee when we need a touchdown. And if you get in his way, he's going to knock you around.
If Roger Wood really wanted to have a sense of humor this year, and I don't know why he wouldn't, he really should have said, and we'll go to Cordarrelle Patterson when we need a touchdown. And that would have brought the house down.
And we'll pitch it to Patterson when we need a touchdown. Here we go. Look at Cam Newton's hat. Look at it. Just gaze upon it, dumb. You see it on there? Pony said it looks like one of those things that could be cake from that Netflix show. I agree. He looks like it's either that or he's about to just pull off an unbelievably slick train robbery in like 1870.
Pittsburgh's got to Super Bowl. Here we go.
We got Highsmith, Watt, and Hayward.
Here we go.
Fitzpatrick, Elliott, and Joey Jr.
Here
Joey Jr. Clever.
Won't gain any ground because the defense is going to bring the steel curtain down.
Here we go.
Should have changed the lyric this year to steal Pittsburgh's finally gonna win a playoff. That's a little bit long, but you get my point. Because the standards have changed. With
Pittsburgh's
the song,
going to divisional. Here
like,
we go.
It's changed since 94 when the first song came out.
I will feel bad for Cam Hayward if they do what I think they're going to do and lose this game. First team All-Pro again. He has had four first team All-Pro nods, Pony, all since 2017, which you could consider very realistically the back half of his career.
He's the Benjamin Button of NFL players.
And, man, I rarely get this way about like an individual player. I try to be team over individual. But the guy has been an absolute warhorse, and I would like to see them go on one playoff run.
I agree.
It doesn't even have to yield a Super Bowl, but one like real honest-to-God playoff run where he gets some of his flowers on national television.
One of his old teammates, Bryant McFadden, will join us at 5 to author up a prediction on this game. Mr. Old School ready to enter his take in on this one. Hello, Mr. Old School.
Hello, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
Hey, so 28-20 Steelers, and I think that the defense is going to show up strong, and if they move, Russ into the shotgun and come out throwing on first down, I think we got this game. I'm not really impressed by Baltimore outside of the two players, the running back and the quarterback. Without Zay Flowers,
no Mark Andrews impressed.
No,
Kyle Hamilton.
No. Here's the reason. Here's the reason being Mark Andrews has been getting open because of Zay Flowers.
How about Roquan Smith?
No, Roquan, listen, as much as they talk about Peterson, they should be talking about Roquan. Roquan hasn't been great this year. He's on a first team all-pro.
He's been better lately. I would agree early in the year he
Mr.
absolutely.
Mr. Old School, yes he is. He was voted first team all-pro.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm dead serious. As serious as a heart attack.
Well, he's only come on like the last few games. He was invisible.
No, he started. I was saying before Pony told you he was a first team all pro. He started the season poorly, but he has been playing a lot better. I would say probably the last 2 months he's been much better.
Mr. Old School, do you live in Pittsburgh?
I do.
Do you know where our station is?
I've been down there. I've won a couple prizes from you guys. I know exactly where it is.
I will buy you an expensive bottle of liquor if they score 28 points in this game.
Wow.
Okay.
That's nice.
All right, hey, we got to win.
What would your pick be if Pony was saying expensive bottle? Like, what are you hitting him up for?
Oh, you know I'm getting me a Dom. I want some Dom.
Oh, wow. Jesus, I really should not have made that.
Well,
I feel good that they're not going to get there, so whatever.
There was one thing he could have said that would have been worse. He'd have just said, Pony, I don't know what your definition of expensive is, but I'd like the Louis the 13th.
Here is Emmanuel in Carnegie, who always is very pro-Steelers. You going to do that again here, Emmanuel?
What's that?
You going to pick the Steelers here?
Oh, I got a question to ask, kind of like a rhetorical question.
Yes.
The last four games, Ravens, they played against the Browns, Giants, and a banged-up Steelers and Texans teams. What would their record be if they had our schedule? Playing at Philadelphia, at Pittsburgh,
loss.
Home against the Chiefs.
They would have lost to...
They already did lose to the Eagles.
They would have lost to the Chiefs and Eagles, and they would have beaten the Bengals.
They beat the Bengals by 1 point and a two-point conversion at that. Yeah.
Well, right. We beat the Ravens by 2 points because their kicker missed kicks and we stopped them on a 2-point conversion. So
they
that
also
cuts
had
both ways
that we couldn't recover in at Baltimore. I got the Steelers winning. I got them winning without even the offense scoring 28 points. They don't need to score 21.
So what's your score?
I got us winning 20-16. Our defense is going to show up. I saw what I needed to see.
Who's going to be the better quarterback tomorrow, Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson?
Russell Wilson.
Okay.
I mean, how could
thank
it
you.
Possibly be Jackson if he's got the Steelers beating them?
True.
The basic thesis there, I think, was the Ravens don't have that many good wins either. They beat the Bills by 3 touchdowns. They also beat the Broncos, another playoff team that people actually think could sneak up on Buffalo, by 31.
But I hear like what they would not have gone 3-1 or 4-0. They probably would have gone 2-1. Well, they won one game against the Steelers, so that counts in that 4-game run. And I think the Bengals game is a win for them, and they would. I agree. They would have lost to the Chiefs and Eagles too, just like we did.
I mean, they played the Chiefs in the opener in Kansas City because he was saying what the Steelers' actual schedule was, and they lost by like the tip of Isaiah Likely's toe in Kansas City.
So you would pick the Ravens to beat the Chiefs?
I think
in
they
Baltimore?
Would have. They would have had the Eagles game would have still been an L because they lost to them at home already, so they would have lost to them on the road. I would have given them a pretty good chance against the Chiefs, yes.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Now we're getting a deluge of fans saying, wait a second, screw that Giant Eagle test where fans aren't wearing their Steelers garb yet. They are coming out, and they are shocking the world on Saturday night. 412-928-9370.
Graduate student from Salisbury, North Carolina, to give Notre Dame the lead in the final seconds. 41-yard attempt. Snap and hold are good. The kick is good!
Then with that, Penn State saw a double-digit lead evaporate. A big brain fart from Drew Aller in the fourth quarter. And the Fighting Irish are trying to make like it's 1988 all over again and win a national championship. It's college football minute time. Even on a Steelers playoff preview Friday, we have to spend a few minutes on this game brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. Visit them at twomeninajunktruck.com. Malzi pointed out something that's happening, an interesting phenomenon, where you feel like, from what you're seeing, Penn State lost to a top five team again under James Franklin, dropping his record at Penn State to 1-15
in such situations
against top five teams. Pat Narduzzi at Pitt has more wins over top five teams.
Marcus Freeman now has more wins over top five teams in the last 8 days.
But you have remarked off the air that a crazy thing is happening. People are letting James Franklin off the hook.
Here's how
what happened last night.
I just tweeted out, I said the better coach team won. I stand by that.
Well, that's accurate.
I got a lot of, and I'll go into why I say better coach team last night. I got a lot of responses. Some of them actually respectful, just saying, I don't know, man. This one's on Drew Aller today. I can't blame James Franklin for this. It feels to me like Penn State fans know that Franklin is like probably the most popular individual target associated with the program in many ways because he puts that target on himself, which I think he did before this game again by patronizing Marcus Freeman at their press conference, which pissed off Freeman. There's a good athletic story up about that. But it's been very much a, like, you can't bully my little brother. Only I can beat my little brother up kind of thing. If anyone's going to rip James Franklin, it's going to be us Penn State fans. You outsiders who just like to pot shot, no way. They've closed ranks around him. Quickly, Pony, I would just say this. They had a 10-0 lead and had just KO'd the starting quarterback for the other team. I tweeted as much like, wow, they look very physical. This is impressive. Before you could blink, it was 17-10 going the other direction.
He went for a field goal from the 2-yard line when he had a chance to make a major statement early in that football game. Didn't love that.
Well, Aller also made a horrible throw to Singleton right before that field goal.
I know, but you still have to make decisions after that. That's why Drew Aller was horrible for them. And then this is the thing I thought also, besides just halftime, they came out flat as a pancake and Notre Dame seized control of that game for a while. The Nick Singleton run that preceded that interception that broke their backs at the end is like the worst thing that could have happened to them.
Thank you. I'm so happy you said that.
It put him in the mode where I think he said, okay, we're going to call plays like we're going to go for the throat right here. I watched that game long enough, and I missed like parts being in the car. If that game goes to overtime, I think Penn State wins. I do. I think they win the game. But he got greedy, and then Drew Aller, a guy he had no reason to trust at that point.
Thank you.
Threw that pass.
That's why James Franklin should be getting skewered. James Franklin did the same exact thing Kirby Smart did at the end of the first half against Notre Dame that cost Georgia the quarterfinal game. He tried to hope and pray that a backed-up drive against one of the best defenses and maybe the best secondary in college football was going to translate into points. You've been able to run the ball the entire game, which Notre Dame is so stingy against the run. You've actually won the line of scrimmage. Your quarterback has looked like a disaster outside of maybe a handful of throws the entire game. You're starting a drive at the 15-yard line with 38 seconds to go. Kneel on the ball, go to the goofy college football overtime, and take your chances there.
I think they would have had a real chance to just score a touchdown and then stop Notre Dame, and that would have been that.
What the hell did Penn State, what did James Franklin think was going to happen? For the first time all game, Drew Aller was going to throw the ball to Penn State wide receivers and they were going to march right downfield and kick a field goal as time expired?
I know no one has to believe me on this. I was watching here with our pal Jermichael Finley in the KDK AM producer's booth, and I said before that drive started, be the funniest thing in the world for a person like me if Drew Aller threw a pick here, like he really could. Pony, as soon as he got thrown off his first read on that play and started having to shuffle around in the pocket, you could just feel it. It was about to happen.
He did not put his quarterback in position to win. And here's the other thing.
He trusted the wrong thing in part of his team in that game.
Yes, and here's the other thing about that whole sequence of events. If Mike Tomlin gets blamed by us, and I think rightfully so, for having a huge hand in the roster configuration of the Steelers and how they are basically outside of George Pickens, a team that has the worst complementary group of wide receivers in the entire NFL.
Mm-hmm.
James Franklin is everything at Penn State. He's their chief recruiter. I mean,
It's his show. When you're the college football head coach at a big-time school, it's your team and your program.
How do you have one of the biggest budgets in college football? It's never been easier if you've got the money to get good players.
You have two phenomenal running backs. You have the best tight end in the country.
You don't have one good wide receiver. You've got Sean Clifford's little brother in some reject by Ohio State. They know wide receivers better than any team in the country. Look at all the players they put in the NFL. And you got some dude with a receding hairline who looks like Stephen A. Smith's little brother out there from Ohio State who can't even get involved in the offense. How is that possible? You've got no wide receivers at
him.
Penn State?
And Drew Aller's got a big arm and everything else, but no one's creating separation. If Warren wasn't getting open, they weren't getting a passing game going. I thought it wasn't like when we blame Franklin and I say better coach team won, I think people get mad and defend that, not just because Penn State fans, they're going to be the ones who are going to rip Franklin. But there wasn't one of those like overt in-game decisions where you go, oh my God, that's horrible coaching. Like that particular one decision killed them and it's obvious. Pony, isn't being a good coach how your team both responds to prosperity and adversity in a game?
Yes.
They were up 10-0. They didn't respond well. Freeman's team down 10-0, takes the lead, gives it all the way back, and never blinks down the stretch.
And people are having the wrong conversation about the pass interference call that
There was no problem with that call.
That turned an interception into a touchdown. No, but here's the thing.
I know what you're going to say. It was a horrible ball. Why did he ever throw it?
Yes!
Yeah, it was a horrible ball.
So that gets back to why are you at your own 15-yard line trying to march downfield like you've got Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback to try to win the game in regulation.
I'm going to say something wild. I think that they had all three timeouts at that point. Nick Singleton gets that big run, like of what it was about. Like,
you're still at the 28-yard line. He got right. 13 yards.
Pony, I'm dead serious. With those timeouts because he got out of bounds, I would have run the ball again and taken my chances trying to
Agreed.
Rip off 10 or 15 more 100% there.
100% agree with that.
And I might have taken a timeout and done it one more time.
I might as well put the friggin' tight end under center than Aller in that spot.
He got
that
out
was
coached,
a college
man.
Football minute.
He got out, he had the better team, majority better team, and he got out coached, and that is a major reason why they lost.
And one more thing we forgot. You want to talk about a Jaws moment? You knock Riley Leonard out of the game. Here comes
Steve Angeli.
Here comes Vinny Boombatz out of the bullpen.
He looked like Steve Young.
And you let a back. I know it's Notre Dame.
Pony, that turned the game.
I agree, 100%.
He let the kid came in, and to his enormous credit, I can't like say anything about Franklin in this particular
case. You could have ended the game right there if you're Penn State.
I'll give him one break. His team forced a fumble that they somehow didn't fall on. But the kid comes off the bench ice cold and just starts slinging it all over the place. Like it's
he wasn't
air raid.
Rattled by that fumble. He got right back
Pony,
up and
I know.
Started swinging
part,
again.
That part I credit the kid for, because how can you possibly expect
but
a guy to do
that? But how with that defense do you let that happen?
Well, there were a couple plays that allowed him to build the confidence where he was just getting
how
quick hitters
off. How do
you
have off. Your linebackers singled up on their weapons in the passing game like that? How many times did King get beat by guys?
Oh, he didn't get beat. Was it a linebacker who got beat on the tying touchdown? The first one where somebody just got knocked out, like got put on turf monster mode by Greathouse or whatever?
Yes.
Made that little move?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
By the way, somebody's going to get a hell of a player with Carter on Penn State. I will
oh
say
my
that.
God.
That dude is an absolute
I was thinking about you
did
watching
you...
him play. I was thinking, Mueller's probably thinking in his head, if I could trade TJ Watt
for
and
this
I was
guy?
Guaranteed to get Abdul Carter, I would do that.
Well, I think I've proven that I've come around on Freiermuth. I was an early Porter Jr. backer. I don't hold it against Penn Staters that they draft. That kid making the play where he comes all the way around formation, basically dragging his arm like a useless appendage and still makes a tackle for a loss is one of the greatest plays I saw all year.
I don't have to do that. Coming up next, we have, I believe, Mark Cabali is here to talk about Steelers, Ravens, and he will give a dissenting opinion that fans should love because he believes that the unthinkable, the impossible, according to the odds makers, will happen. The Steelers will shock the world. He'll tell us why when we come back.